All right, go ahead and turn to Psalm chapter 56. Psalm chapter 56. Maybe it's just me, but there's a theme just about in every song we sang tonight. There's a theme in there. Anybody want to take a shot at what I'm thinking? I know, it's like, oh. Because you could find so many things. But you find in here problems. A lot of problems in all these songs. But we have the assurance that God would deliver us, that God will be with us, no, never alone. I am His and He is mine. This is my Father's world. What it says is, oh, let me never forget that though the wrong seems off so strong, there's problems. But God is the ruler yet. And He also, the amazing grace, through many dangers, toils and snares, problems. The Bible says, yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. The Bible tells us. Psalms talks all about it. I was thinking, as we're singing, it's like, wow, it kind of goes a lot along with Psalm 56 here. Here in Psalm chapter 56, let me talk a little bit about Psalms. David wrote many of the Psalms. I think they say it's about 70. I didn't count them all, but they said about 70 of them, I believe. And many of the Psalms, they have superscriptions or titles, right? You read in your Bible. To the chief musician, a song of Asaph or a song of David, a lot of superscriptions or titles. And I don't know that they're necessarily inspired. I've done a little research. Maybe I should talk to Pastor later about it, maybe. I don't know that it's inspired necessarily, that it's actually God's word necessarily, but it does help us give us some historical context, perhaps, around a psalm. And there's actually 14 that give us historical context, telling us what's happening in the psalm, or the occasion of the psalm. And so it says here in chapter 56, to the chief musician upon Jonath-elam-rakokim, something like that, Michim of David, when the Philistines took him in Gath. So the occasion of this psalm is when the Philistines took him in Gath, it says. Here's some context. I'd like to look at really two psalms, mainly Psalm 56, and then we'll just read through Psalm 34, because they go back to back. And I'll explain here. The context, what's happening? This is David. David wrote this psalm. And what's going on? Well, you remember David fought Goliath. You remember he was victorious because David was strong and because God gave him the victory and because he trusted in the Lord and he fought the Lord's battle and it was for the Lord's glory and for the Lord's honor and for the Lord's people. And God gave him victory and because David was humble, because he loved the Lord, because he wanted to serve the Lord blessed him and the Lord prospered him. He was a wise man, even though he was young, and he became a soldier in Saul's army, and Saul didn't like him because people thought he was better than Saul was. So he eyed David from that day, from the day he killed Goliath, or I assume it's the same day, is when the lady sang, Saul has slain his thousands, but David has 10,000. He eyed David from that day forward, and then he tried to kill him. And we, in Sunday school, we numbered at least 6 times. A couple months ago, we talked about some of this stuff. But I'd like to look at Psalm 56 here. The 6 times he tried to kill him, the first time was with the javelin. He's playing before him, the evil spirit's upon Saul, and Saul throws a javelin at him. And David escapes out of his presence. Later, Saul gets him to fight the Philistines. He said, it would be better if the Philistines kill him. Don't let me kill him. It would look better if the Philistines did it. So I'm going to hire a hitman, kind of. Let's let the Philistines do it. And I'll tell you what, David, you can have Merib, my daughter to wife, only fight the Lord's battles. Go out there and fight. So that's what he wanted to do, and maybe the Philistines would kill him. That was the second attempt. The third attempt was, well, Michal likes David. I'll have him fight 100 Philistines. Kill 100 Philistines, and you can have my daughter, Michal. And David kills 200 Philistines and brings them back. So that didn't work either. Then Saul tells his servants and Jonathan outright, I want you to kill David. He just tells his servants, I want you to try and kill David. Then Jonathan talks him out of it. But then David again is in his presence, and he's playing, and Saul throws a javelin at him again. You'd think, fool me once, shame on me, fool me twice, or you can't do the same thing twice, right? So Then, after that, Saul tried to kill him at David's own house. At that point, David's at his house. He says, I want you to go get him and kill him. And then his wife said, oh, he's sick. But he ran away. He ran away and he went to Ramah. He went to go visit Samuel, who was the spiritual man at that time. And he went and tell him, what's going on? I'm not doing anything wrong. And Saul's trying to kill me. What am I doing wrong here? And so he goes over there. And when David finds out, then he goes and chases after him. He sends officers and they begin to prophesy. He sends more officers. They prophesy. Sends more officers. They prophesy. And Saul goes himself and he starts prophesying. And they weren't able to get him. After this, David talks to Jonathan about the situation. They have a test to prove Saul's intent. Is he really trying to kill you or not? Jonathan didn't think so. David said, yes, he is. And after this, David runs away. So they find out, Saul's trying to kill you. We agree. We found out. So David runs away. He goes to Nob. That's where the tabernacle was at the time. And he lies to Ahimelech, the priest at the time. He gets some bread. He gets a sword, the sword of Goliath. And then from there, he goes to Gath. Now, we've talked about some of these things. So he goes to Gath. He flees to Achish, the king of Gath, and he fled for fear of Saul. Verse 10 of chapter 21 of 1 Samuel tells us. And we've noted that times of distress in our lives are, you fill in the blank, what would you think? We might think stressful. Times of distress are unwanted. Times of distress are not good, but actually they can be beneficial. And as this psalm tells us, we can see the benefits of how God is using these times in David's life to draw him close to himself. And in fact, we get to benefit by reading the psalms and benefiting from the trial that David went through. And so it drew him to God. It helps humble us, these trials. They help weaken our self-reliance, and it can give us a time of sweet communion with the Lord. And it also tests our faith, these trials do, and faith is meant to be tested. Testing our faith is how we grow our faith, because an untested faith is a weak faith, right? So it has to be tested. So he flees to Gath, and that's where Goliath was from. He goes to Gath, David, who killed Goliath with the sword of Goliath. It's not a very wise thing to do, but he did it. Sometimes fear will cause us to do unwise things, dumb things, to put it mildly, to go somewhere because we're afraid, oh, Saul's going to kill me, so I'm going to take this sword and go to Gath, the enemies of the Lord. So he did. He went down there. And when he got there, let's see, Achish knew who he was. Achish said, is not this David, the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s? If you're David, what are you thinking? I thought I could just blend in here. It didn't work. He's afraid. The Philistines heard of the fame of David. David was even exalted in their eyes. They thought of more of them, perhaps more of him than they did of Saul. Is he not the king of the land, they said, Achish said. So you can imagine David's in a bad spot. And that's what the occasion of this psalm is, according to the title here, when the Philistines took him in Gath. And here it says in verse 1, be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. So be merciful unto me, O God. He prays. It's a good thing. We find David, when he's in trouble, what's the first thing he does? He goes to the Lord. That's what we should do, right? Of course. David had problems. Man was the problem. Not only was Saul trying to kill him, but now he's got the Philistines here, and they're trying to kill him, perhaps. It says here that the attack was daily. For man would swallow me up, he fighting daily oppresseth me. He's being chased. And they were many. The oppressors were many, he says. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they are many that fight against me, O thou most high. So David had problems. He had enemies, more than one. These enemies wanted to swallow David up, and he was in danger every day at this point. Now, I don't think anybody's trying to take your life right now. They're not chasing after you to get your life. But we have problems, too. David had problems, and we have problems. different kinds of problems. And like we said, yea, all they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We talk about things looking bad in the country. Perhaps one day, coming soon to a city near you, there might be some more persecution, something a little more physical. Perhaps you can't say this, or you can't do that, or you know, you've got to go here. You're going to go to jail if you have church kind of stuff. We can see that now happening because it has happened in some places. But when problems come, what did David do? What did David do? Well, the first thing he's praying here, he says in verse 3, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." Wow, that's quite a powerful statement, especially in the position he's at, to be able to say that. David put his trust in God. Even David became afraid. Even David, he's a man of war, but he was afraid. He chose to put his trust in God. You know, sometimes I'm a man. Fear is for kids and women, but I don't get afraid. You know, no fear. You ever see that on the back of a car? No fear. We got, you know, we're tough, we're rough, we're brave. Sometimes we don't categorize like anxiety or concern or worry and distress. We don't categorize that as fear, but it is, right? Anxiety, anxious about things. Oh, no, whatever's going on, the economy, the politics or this or that or whatever it is, the family situation or whatever the problem is, there's anxiety and it's fear. It's not good. And it says, remember Philippians 4, 6 through 7, be careful for nothing. Literally, be anxious for nothing. Don't be anxious. Don't worry. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. This is what David's doing. When this struck him, what does he do? He goes to God. By everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, we'll see that David does that. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And, you know, if I were to, you're going through a hard time, and I came up and said, well, you just be careful for nothing. And you say, well, it's easy for you to say, right? And, you know, that would kind of turn me off if somebody just kind of said, well, you know, all things work out together for good. You know, that kind of turns you off. And I understand why it would turn me off, but it's not good that it turns me off. And we have to be careful how we talk to people. But this is a reality. It's true. This is God's will for our life, that we would not be anxious, that we would not be careful about anything, that we wouldn't worry. And so that means there must be a way to rest in God. There has to be a way. And so we should seek God's peace. It can be yours. God's peace can be yours. You can have God's peace. And it's through God. And he says here, when you start feeling anxious, you need to pray with thanksgiving. Let your request be known unto God, and the peace of God will come. It also says in Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. He's talking about unity here. You know, you shouldn't be fighting. But it's as a principle, it's true. We ought to have the peace of God should rule in our hearts, no matter what's going on in the circumstances. And so David here, he comes to the Lord and he prays. He prays to the Lord. And what does he say here? What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee, verse 3. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. It's interesting here. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Flesh, man, this world, anything here, I'm not going to fear what man can do unto me. He had more confidence in God's ability to deliver him than he had in his enemy's ability to hurt him. He had more confidence in God's ability to deliver him than he had in his enemy's ability to hurt him. That takes some strong faith. When you have a person, for instance, you're in the room and the guy has a gun and he's saying, your money or your life. And I say, you can have it all. And he probably wouldn't want it. But to be so strong in your faith that you have more faith in God, God's ability to deliver you than you do in man's ability to hurt you. And David right now is in a situation where he could easily lose his life because Achish could kill him because he is the king of the land, as he said. But David, what did he do? He decided to put his trust in God. And perhaps trust in God takes time to mature. You know, sometimes it's not like a flip the switch and now I'm trusting in God and I just need now I'm going to trust in God. Sometimes it takes some time to grow that trust in the Lord. But it all starts with a choice to believe God. You believe God for what he says in his word, step by step. And you know, if we don't do it now, before the trials come, when the trials do come, we'll be like the untested plant that was inside when it grew up, and then you take it outside and the winds come and it withers. So if we don't prepare ourselves now, we won't be ready later. David decides here that he's going to put his trust in God, and he prays. In verse 5 here, he says, every day they rest my words. Verse 5 through 7, he's going to pray according to God's will. He is praying according to God's will. Every day they rest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast down the people, O God. What do you mean, Nate? He's asking, or he's praying according to God's will. David is essentially asking for justice here. He's just saying, this is what's happening. They're twisting my words, is what he says. They wrest my words. They twist my words. Their thoughts are against me for evil. They mark my steps. They wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? If they do wrong, are they going to be let go free? As Abraham said, he said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? That's what Abraham said. And this is kind of what David is saying here. And then he says, cast down the people. Cast down the people, O God. In thine anger, cast down the people. It is God's will to stop wickedness. It's God's will to judge evildoers, and he will. He will. You think, they're getting away. All these people are getting away with all this stuff today. There's no justice today. People who commit murder are put in jail for life, and they get to enjoy their life and their TVs and everything they want. And that's not justice. And all of these things and political things and whatever it is, there's no justice in the world anymore. But don't forget, God is just and he will judge. And everybody will get what they deserve. And God will make sure that the crime is paid for. No one will escape their due punishment, and we ought to pray according to God's will. As David does here, he prays according to God's will. That's important when we pray, to pray according to God's will. But also, if you look at verse 9, he prays in faith. Verse 8 says, thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In the Lord I will praise his word. In the Lord I will praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. So he prays in faith that God would answer. He prayed in God's will and he prayed in faith. He says, you will answer when I pray. This I know. How does he know this? How can you know that? Says, for God is for me. David had the assurance that God would answer him when he prayed. And in Sunday school, every time that comes up, David prays to the Lord answers him. I try and take the time to say, God answers prayer. God answers prayer. Every time that David prays, God answers prayer. Do you have the assurance that when you pray, that God answers your prayer? Because you can have that assurance. And while my relationship with the Lord needs growth, and all of ours does, but I know that I can have the assurance that God will answer my prayers when I pray. He doesn't always say yes, doesn't always do what I would like, but he does answer prayer, and he always will answer prayer if we come according to his will and according to the principles set forth in his word. And David had that assurance because he knew he was coming to the Lord. He was praying in the Lord's will, and he prayed in faith and says, I know, Lord, that you will deliver me here. He says, when I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. God is for me. Is God for you? Is God for you? I know you can think, well, the Bible says this. But do you experience in your life that God is for you? That you are on God's side? Or does God seem to be your enemy? In Judges, they found God to be their enemy because they were doing what was wrong. But when we do what's right, the Lord helps us, like Joseph. Bless the work of his hands. You think David, he was given this wisdom even at a young age, and he went out and did wisely. And he had favor in the sight of the people. Is God for you? If God is for you, who can be against you, right? That's what Paul said. Now, Paul is specifically talking about forgiveness of sins here. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He's saying, who can judge us? Who can be against us? But the principle is true. If God is on our side, there's no power greater than God. And we can do all things through God, which strengthens us. Who strengthens us? So David here, he prays in faith. So he's got a problem. He decides to put his trust in the Lord. He prays according to God's will here. And he has faith that his prayer is going to be answered. And look at verse 12. It says, "Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" So David decides here to think on and praise God's word, and also to think on how God has dealt with him in the past. If you look at verse 12, "Thy vows are upon me, O God, I will render praises unto thee." He remembered the promises, and he rendered praise. David was in a bad situation. He decides to trust God. He talks to God about it. He asks for deliverance. He prays in faith. And these are all good things. And I think we all do those things. I hope you do those things. You got in a problem, go to the Lord. Ask for help. Get in the Word. Pray according to the biblical principles that God's will would be done. Have faith that the Lord will deliver you, that the Lord will see you through, that the Lord will do what's right. And that's great. These are all good. But you're still in the problem, right? Still in the problem. David's still there, and Achish still is around saying, "What is this guy doing here? We ought to get rid of him," probably, is what he's thinking. It doesn't get rid of the problem. So he's still dealing with this problem. But something key that David does is he follows through with all of this. He follows through with thinking on and praising God's word. He thinks on God's word. He's praising the Lord. And he's thinking of how God has worked in the past. He says in verse 13, For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" He could look back in his life and say, look what God has done. He has helped me defeat Goliath. He's helped me in the battles with the Philistines. He's helped me as a shepherd boy against a lion, against a bear. The Lord has helped me in other ways. He's exalted me to different positions. He's given me favor in the sight of the people. The Lord has done this. The Lord has done that. He can look back in his life and see all these things. Say, wow, I wish the Lord did all those things in my life. I think the Lord does these things in our life, but we forget them. And we don't think about them. Nobody's going behind your life writing down everything in your life so you can read it later. Might not be a bad idea to do those things, journal it. But the Lord does great things in our lives. And if you think back, you can think about answered prayers. You can think about times when the Lord just did something for you and how the Lord used you or whatever, the working of the Lord. And that's what David decides to do through this trial. He thinks on how God has worked in the past. He thinks on God's word and he praises the Lord. Even he gets his mind in the right spot. Even though he's not delivered, he's prayed, yes, but now he needs to keep his mind in the right spot through this trial. And that is where he's at. This is when they have taken him. So what happens? First, you go back to 1 Samuel, and he says, here David feigns himself mad. He's going to be crazy. He heard the words of Achish. He knew that he was a public figure in their eyes, a leader figure even. And David became sore afraid, and David pretends to be crazy. So he's scratching at the gate. He's letting the spittle fall on his beard. And Achish wants David to depart. I wouldn't want a crazy person around my house. What did you bring this guy to me? I don't want him here. You see the man is mad. Why have you brought him to me? He said, I don't want him in my house. And the Lord delivered him. The Lord delivered him. The Lord is able to protect and save us from difficulty, even though David probably got himself into this problem himself. He went to the Philistines. He probably shouldn't have gone to the Philistines. Even though David did it, the Lord was gracious and merciful to get him out of the situation. And the Lord delivered him. Why don't you turn to verse Psalm chapter 34. Psalm 34. Now, the title of this psalm says, A Psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. So he says here, this is the opposite. This is after the fact. And it's interesting. Sometimes we pray for something. Lord, I pray that whatever, something might happen, that this person, you know, might be open to talk, or whatever the prayer might be. And the Lord answers that prayer. And it's great. At the time, it's like, praise the Lord, that's great. And then you forget to really thank the Lord for it. You forget to think about it. But you see here, David remembers to praise the Lord after his deliverance. This is Psalm 34. And we'll just read some verses here. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. That's interesting. Sometimes people want to praise the Lord, and when they do it, if somebody's around, they might think, oh, you're just trying to be a holy Joe over there, you know, praising the Lord and looking like you're so special, goody two-shoes. And they might be turned off by that. I'm guilty of that, especially in college. People that wanted to serve the Lord and follow the Lord, and yet you're kind of turned off by them because, well, they're just trying to be something special. But he says here, the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Those who hear it, who are humble, they'll hear it and they'll be glad when he praises the Lord. He says, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Remember, he was sore afraid, the Bible says. It says, the Lord delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. So you see what David did in Problems. It's like, well, nothing new, but the Bible tells us it works. If we put our trust in the Lord, and if we go to him, and if we get in his word, and according to his principles, we pray and we seek him, and if we pray in faith, and if we put our mind on God's words and on what he has done for us, the Lord can help us through the problem. And we can come back here and we can resonate with what David says, that this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. We could say, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. You can look back at missionary stories. You can look back at Bible characters. Perhaps you can look back in your own life and you can see the same thing. The Lord has done that. He's delivered me out of so many problems, so many troubles, problems at the time that seemed really bad. But God is good, and God is able to get us out of those things. And so it's a snapshot from the Psalms of perhaps where David was and what he was thinking when he was in Gath. Lord, we thank you for this time that we can look at these verses. And I pray that you'd help us to be faithful, to look to you, to seek your face, and that you might be our rock and our defense, our deliverer, and that we'd trust in you, and that you'd help us to rest in your faithfulness and to have that peace that passeth all understanding. We thank you for our time tonight. We pray you'd bless our prayer time and fellowship. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.